Appreciate every one of you coming and being with us. And I know that quite a number of the people had to return, go home. They come from different states and different places. But I felt like we'd have pretty much the regular crowd this evening. And we just have our services because it's Sunday anyway. It's our regular services, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And since you'd been so faithful to come every night, I thought we'd just let you sleep in this morning, and then come the evening we'd have a little service with you, and then you'd be free over in the late evening to do what you wanted to do. How do you love the Lord? Have you enjoyed camp meeting? Are you willing to enjoy just a little more heat? Are you? Good to see Philip and his wife still here with us. I looked when I come in to see if they were still here, and they are still here. We're certainly glad to have them still here from over in Polk, Mississippi. Ah, wonderful things ahead for God's people. Great, marvelous things. And a little sunshine isn't going to stop them. I'm sure you must have worked out in the sunshine until the sweat poured. I have in my lifetime. I've worked out in the sunshine many times, right out in the heat of the day, until the sweat would pour. Worked in hot places and sometimes didn't, even in evangelizing, sometimes have to stay in a place where there wasn't even as much as a fan, and it would be terribly hot. And I just pray that God just send a strong breeze that I could lift the window or something, you know. But nevertheless, the body, it's made so that it can adjust to that kind of thing. It's got little windows like that can open up and close up, you know. God, He took care of all that, so we won't smother to death. We'll be all right. We hadn't really reached Calvary yet. We modern Christians, you know, it's such a hard, awful thing when we have inconvenience. But the Bible said we've not yet endured to the shedding of blood. Back in those days, as to the martyrs, they went through the dark age, and men and women alike, they died, gave their blood for this wonderful gospel, wonderful salvation. And I think it's a privilege, you know, just to be here and just to be able to encounter just a little bit of discomfort for the body for Christ's sake. And I know when we say that, the devil, he'll probably get mad and leave, you know. Because as long as you're doing it and you're grumbling and mumbling and feeling, my God, you're about to smother to death, he'll just stay around torment you. And then when you change it over and say, Lord, I'm doing this as unto the Lord Jesus, he gets upset and, yeah, I don't want you to do that. So he'll leave and the clouds will come over you and everything at night. He don't do nothing to glorify God. But it's good to be here. I'm sure that you'll agree with me. And you can be seated. I didn't mean just to keep you standing. Appreciate having Dale back with us under the tent. Last night I had a real enjoyable time in the things of God. And I did say something about some fans, you know. My wife said, well, they don't have enough electricity to run the fans with the instruments. I said, well, I'm going to be preaching. There won't be no instruments, so thought maybe it might work pretty good with the fans. But anyway, whatever it is, I guess this is the way the Lord wanted it. I'd like for you to notice something here. I'm just going to read just a little scripture. And I'd like for you to notice something that's, to me, is really outstanding. Now, God don't have any preference between you and me. You know, I'm just like you are. You're just like I am. And He doesn't have any preference between a man and a woman. And in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. Male and female is only for the earth, is to reproduce and bring people into the world that God may have, He may plenish and replenish His kingdom as to bodies and images. But in heaven, we're all as the angels, and angels are spirits. I make my angels ministering spirits. My ministers, I make them a flame of fire to devour the stubble. But my angels, they are made to come to minister to you. Like it was when Jesus was in the wilderness and he'd been fasting and he was weary and Satan was tempting him to say, if you be the Son of God, trying to create the doubt as to the sonship. But while the devil was trying to trample his mind down and harass his mind, the angels of God came and ministered unto him to give him strength and inspiration. So angels are round about you, and a lot of times you entertain angels unaware. You're not aware that those angels are there, but they're there. They encamp round about them that love the Lord. Like here today, there's angels here today. You can't see them with your natural eye, but if you got into the Spirit, you could see them. Like it was in the days of Elijah and Elisha and the prophets. Back there when the prophet was standing, doing something for God, maybe he'd be seeing an angel or talking to an angel or communicating with an angel. Like on one occasion when the little servant that worked with the prophet, he wasn't a prophet. He couldn't see into the spiritual world. He didn't know anything. He just wanted to be loyal to the cause as to whatever God had enlightened him to. And he got afraid. The enemy began to close in and things began to happen and he got afraid. And he began to make a fuss and was talking about the alien powers and the armies that was coming up against him and the prophet. And the prophet said, no need to be afraid, nothing to be afraid of. But that little fellow, he couldn't understand. He thought his plenty to be afraid of. When he looked and saw those soldiers and he knew that they meant business, and you know soldiers with, whether it is in our day as with guns or swords or bows and arrows or whatever, you know, they meant business. They'd take your head off of. They would run you through with a spear. And he thought there's plenty to be alarmed about. But when the prophet said, God open his eyes, all of a sudden his spiritual eyes come open. He had never had that to happen to him perhaps in his whole life. And all of a sudden his eyes come open and he saw all around this great prophet. There was something like prancing horses, just prancing. And fiery chariots just blazing. And when he saw that, the prophet said, you see, they that be for us is more than they that are against us. We don't have to worry. And he quit his worrying right then and there. See, and that's the way it is. You think sometimes that you're all alone. I've been in cars, you know, where they'd run off of a bridge into the creek, or they'd roll over into the field and flip back up on their wheel, or maybe they'd spin around on a highway and roll over into the ditch and we'd have to climb out the side of it. And so many, many things that we've run through in our lifetime. Being in these things, been stranded in the deserts and in the mountains and faced with all kind of oppositions in different parts of the world. We've been on the boat when it would catch on fire, you know, the ship. And it could be a frightening thing. But in every instance, we always was able to keep our faith. In the world, they call it keeping your cool, but it's better to keep your faith. Demons go around one to another, you know. They're wandering through dry places, and they say, keep cool, that is, if you can. But in our world, you know, we just keep our faith. And so then, keeping our faith, we keep our faith, and whatever comes, those ministering spirits, those angels, they minister to us. They take care of us. You're like the car is going round and around, and you're going around and around. You're waiting for the crash. Maybe you've got your loved ones in there, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord, he's just standing there catching it, you know, just like a child spinning a top. And when it goes as far as God wants it to, he just gently picks it up and lays it over on its sides, you know, and everybody crawls out. All right, let's give the Lord a hand, can you? That's the way he does it. That's the way he does it. Always there, and he will give his angels charge concerning thee. And they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. So everybody that is a Christian, they have a ministering angel that watches over them. Every Christian individual has an angel of their own that goes with them wherever they go, and it watches over them. If they will just believe and live spiritual, become spiritual, Paul said to be spiritual, they'll see this angel. They'll see this angel. They'll be able to communicate with angels as it was with Michael. The great warrior would come down and there'd be a communication. Or as it was with Gabriel, the messenger that came down and they would communicate with him. But we have to be willing to go to Calvary. Have to be willing to sweat a little bit. You know, if we have to fan while we do it. We have to be willing to endure. And not only be willing to endure the cross, as the Bible said, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame thereof for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. Not only are we people that must be willing to do this, to kill out the body that the Spirit might live, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. This is the works that we add to our faith. As I said the other night, or last night, see, our salvation is of God. It is wrought by the faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't need any of our works. But our works is going on to perfection, to subdue the body, to bring the body to a full reward, or to bring it to a full surrender and submission that Christ, the Spirit, even God, may dwell in it without hindrance, in abundance of life, and just do the wonderful things he wants to do with it at any time he wants to. Jesus living again before the Father. This is what we desire. That's why we're going on trying to subdue the body. It's very important that we conquer the body. This is the works that is with our faith. And this is what sets our faith aflame. Because if we do the things that please God, John said, then do we convince our heart toward God. Then do we have confidence in God. And then we have whatsoever we say, whatsoever we want. Because we do the things that please God, we convince our heart. And when our heart is convinced, that is faith. And when you have faith, then you can have whatsoever you want. I hope you understand what I'm saying. As rightly dividing the word, differentiating. So we find it is a glorious thing to be a son of God, to be a Christian. And great things lay ahead for us. There's great adventure that's laying ahead for the children of God. There's nothing but turbulence, sorrow, woes, heartaches, and problems that's laying ahead for the world. They've done run their course, and the land of Esau is about to be ravished and burned. But we're just now coming into our real wonderful experience of eternal joy in living to never, never die. Somebody say hallelujah. And so then we find that it's a wonderful experience. See, I'm not saying to you, will you go up on the mountain 80 days and not eat and drink? I'm not saying to you that you should go up on the mountain 80 days, do without to get a blessing. I'm just saying for you to stay on the tent here a few minutes and fan. You know you can get a blessing because we're on this side of the rent veil. And great and mighty things are happening. So we see something is taking place. Look at the flag of America is being burned. Now I want you to think right when I speak to you concerning this. You know, not only you that are looking at me here under the tent, but those that hear these things, whether they be on the radio or wherever they're at, you think, don't be so presumptuous to find fault with what the minister says. Give him a little bit of time. Even a fool will listen sometimes. So, listen a little bit as to what the minister says. The Bible said you're a foolish man to answer before you hear. Give a man a chance to say what he's going to say and then listen at it. Perhaps the end of the matter will be better than the beginning. Rude in speech, the Bible said, but not in knowledge, the ministry. So then, look at the flag. It's being burned. And we're all upset. Why are we upset? Because it's a symbol of our liberty. Our forefathers erected that flag as a great symbol. And we have sons and daughters that are planted beneath the soil that spilt or give their blood, pledging allegiance to the flag and what it stands for. See, great patriarchs, great mighty men that were valiant in battle, they sleep beneath the soil so that we could continue on in this great world of liberty, America called the New World. So then we see this wonderful thing taking place. as to the church coming in, a new banner. But still we look at the old and we think about old glory. Old glory, we say, as to the law, as to Moses, as to that which was in the veil. Old glory. See, it's been there for a long time. But folks, we don't need to mope over the flag. See, it isn't the flag that's going to save us. The flag is nothing but a rag, a piece of cloth. People have become heathenistic. The Lord has taken that flag down. Oh no, somebody says, not the Lord. Oh yes, He is. The Bible said everything that happens, He has His way in it. So then God has taken that flag down. Why is He taking it down? Because it's not a symbol of liberty and justice anymore. There's no liberty and justice in America anymore. It's not a symbol, and that of pledging the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, as to one nation under God that's undivided or indivisible with liberty and justice for all. See, it's not that at all. It's not that. This is not one nation under God. This nation is under everything from ball games to frolics of every kind of partying. It's under the God of Lucifer, the God of frolic, the God of games, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, a Laodicea nation that's lukewarm in religious activities, twofold more the child of hell is a proselyte, don't have time for God. See, why is it that we're not more concerned about the things for which the flag stands? The flag has become an idol. Like is the thing in the wilderness. Back in the days of Moses, God lifted up a symbol of the coming Lord Jesus. And He lifted up this pole, of which we still see today. We see it as to the medical profession, as to the symbol of healing. The snake still wrapped around the pole. But it was lifted up that everyone that would look upon that serpent, they would be healed of the bite of the serpents that was in the wilderness. And the serpents would be done away with. But then the years passed on by. And then it came to pass when they were out of the wilderness that they took this thing and made an idol out of it. And God had to raise up a young king. They set it in the high places where they would party. And they would worship it. And God had to raise up a young king and send him up there to destroy the thing. So the flag has become an idol. And people are worshiping the flag. I respect Mr. Bush. I think he's a great man. Raised up for a great purpose. So was Mr. Reagan's, Mr. Carter. But the thing is, George Bush, he wants to put an amendment for the flag to keep them from burning the flag. That's all right with me. You know, whatever they do, that's their world, that's their business. Whatever they want to do. They have gods that are many, but I have but one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question arises within my heart. Why doesn't Mr. Bush or the presidents that come and go? Why don't they make a special amendment for the Lord Jesus Christ? Put that in the Constitution. That's the thing that's important. We're supposed to be interested in the Constitution that the forefathers gave us as one nation under God. And our interest is supposed to be in upholding the Constitution. That's what the flag was a symbol of, was liberty and justice. One nation under God. Why aren't we concerned about the decency and the morals of the people? Why aren't we concerned about the things that the flag stands for? Somebody said, but we are, Brother Pike. Then why do you party and do the things you do and drink the way you do and strip off in nudeness the way you do and parade up and down the beaches and through the towns and everywhere else? Why do you display on the billboards the ungodliness when God said, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things and I will receive you, saith the Lord. See, why do you do that? Why do you sell your son and daughter for a bottle of wine? Why did you sacrifice them to devils, as the Bible said, to become a millionaire, to have the things of the world? Why do you have the love of the world in you? The flag was supposed to be a symbol of justice and liberty from the old country as to freedom of worship. Somebody says, well, that's what I believe in, is freedom of worship. But America is the most mixed up, messed up people in the world. At one time, they were great people. They had a God. His name was Jesus. And they worshiped Him, but not anymore. He is just something they incorporate into their lifestyle so that they can still say that they are religious. All of these places, institutions of worship, as we call them, many of them are nothing but cages of devils and unclean birds, hateful birds, the Bible says. Demon spirits. The Bible said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it wandered through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. Then he says, I will return unto my house from which I came. And the Bible said, and when he returns, he finds it clean, swept, garnished. He cannot go in because he is unclean. And the temple is clean. Somebody has come to know about God. Somebody has come to call upon God. And God has heard through the blood, the atonement at Calvary, and the grace of God as to the rain on the just and the unjust, as to everyone coming. And the mercies of God and the love of God drawing us to Himself. Surely the mercy of God leadeth us to repentance. And coming to God, getting into the light of the saints of God, being illuminated, being lifted up. See, and the Bible said being made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasting of the Word of God, and the power of the world to come. And then they fall away. The Bible said, and the sow that was washed goes back to her wallowing in the mire. And the Bible said, and the dog returns to his vomit. So the spirit that cannot go in, the Bible said it goes and gets seven other spirits more wicked than himself. More wicked than himself. Then there's eight of them. And they come together and they press their way into this place. They harass. They keep on. Because the man did not go on to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He only tasted of the blessing of the Holy Ghost. The illumination. As it was with Adam and them when they were in the garden and were illuminated with the Spirit of God. The Shekinah. And then the devils go in, and the Bible said the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's the way America is. She's become religious. She's heard the Word of God. Television, radio, newspaper, whatever it might be, through preaching on the street corners under tents. But she's turned away. God cleansed her, illuminated her, to where she could have this blessing of grace. But she'd rather have her devils and demons and the frolics and the parties of the wild imagination and the hilarious things of Hollywood make believe. She'd rather project her body stripped down so that her nudeness can be seen, that men would lust after her. The men likewise, they want to display their bodies after their muscular operations of weightlifting and jogging, so that Satan can illuminate them with the powers of lust, even the god of this world. And draw their eyes one to another. One to another. And then in the end, leaving the natural use of the woman as to the reproduction for God's way of life. And that is to bring a child into the world that he might have eternal life and live on forever. Instead of doing that, It becomes the dog with his vomit and the old sow and her wallowing in the mire. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And the Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So then we can see why that God is letting the flag be burned. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you believe God is in the burning of the flag? Can evil come to a city and I'm not sent it, saith the Lord? I create the good, I create the evil. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of men. Everything happens the way that God wants it to happen. Why shouldn't they burn the flag? Oh, somebody says, "Dad, you're crazy. You're one of them too. You're with them too. He'll just pounce on you." Well, get a good run and start. Come on. I must say it anyway. Well, be careful now. They'll hear this on the radio. They'll hear this overseas. They'll hear it. You got to go over there. Praise God. Let them get a good running start. Come on. Anything that happens, just a short cut to glory. Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. They kill people for telling the truth. The Bible said they stoned Stephen to death because he told the truth. Why shouldn't they burn it? It doesn't stand for liberty. It doesn't stand for justice. It doesn't stand for one nation under God. It doesn't stand for any of those things that they lifted it up to stand for. Once it did, and men were willing to die, not for a flag, but they were willing to die for the justice and the liberty that God had given to the people of America. Because they worshiped God, they were one people that were under God, undivided. How can you say they're undivided now? We have everything from every country, from every nationality. They come in here, they've got us divided into anything and everything. And like the Bible said concerning the church, you spare one of them, there'll be a prick in your side. You can't do anything in America anymore without one of these fellows jumping up. We're not going to have it. We're not going to have it. And they finally twist Congress and they mess around till they make it a mess. Make it like they want it to be. And our constitutional rights means exactly nothing. Someone would say, well, I still believe that they do mean something, all right? If they mean something, that means that people obey them. Before we run down through all of them, let's just take the major one. As to the beginning, when it says, if any nation at any time under this Constitution, if the government becomes corrupt, it should be changed, and another government should be put in. Why haven't you changed it and put in another government? If you believe in it. You're the ones that go around saying it's corrupt. So then why is it that it's being burned? God has prepared the hearts of men to burn it and to curse it and to spit upon it. Because it's not a symbol of glory anymore. It's not a symbol of justice anymore. It's almost as the flag of a terrorist. If we're concerned about what it stood for, it flew because of what it stood for. If we wanted to fly with liberty and justice for all, one God, one nation under that one God, then let us repent of our sins. Let us come back to God. Let us go back to the origin. That's when our fathers instigated it. When they took us away from the old country that we might have a real, genuine freedom of worship. They didn't bring us over here to have what we call freedom of worship, to let every devil and demon and every sect of religion to come in. That wasn't why they brought us over here. They were already mixed up with those heathenistic practices in that country. The freedom of worship they spoke of was breaking away from the devils and demons and coming over here and worshiping God. That's what they call freedom of worship. But this misconstrued, ignorant generation that's on the scene today that the Bible calls a lukewarm, that is a non-God-serving. They don't serve God. this lukewarm generation that's come on the scene now, God is spewing them out of His mouth. Even in the churches, it is said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And the ministry, instead of the people of God getting up and declaring the truth, like one told me in Colorado, said, if I preach what you're saying, I wouldn't have a congregation. Strangely enough, I kept preaching all these years. I got a congregation, and just about every time I get a letter from him, he's done moved down to Poor Street asking me for an offering. Even his wife left him. God rules in the affairs of men. We should stand up and declare the gospel. You are a holy people, a godly people, a people that is set for the defense of the gospel and of the truth. That your light, your understanding should shine throughout the entire world. Standing up for God, not to be arrogant, not to be a fool to hurt people, to strike at people, to cut people down, to mock people, but to be staunch, rooted, grounded in the truth, and founded upon a rock. Standing for the liberty and justice of the Word of God, which really does give liberty and justice for all, of which the flag one time was a symbol. God has prepared those men to burn the flag. Why has He done that? Because the days of the Gentiles are over, like I told you. The days of the Gentiles are at an end. America represents the Gentiles because she's been the great nation that's been over the nations, that's had her way in everything. But God is through with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are at an end. When the people get to where they will not listen to the church and they will not listen to God, God doesn't have any more time for them. Now you think a few minutes about what I'm saying. I would that you were hot or cold. I make you feel better under here. I would that you were hot or cold. Maybe that's what it has to do with today. Because if we are cold, it means that we don't know the way of righteousness. And the blood was given for that reason, to save us while we were yet in our sins, because we did not know any better. God said, I would that you were like that, because I don't want to destroy my creation. I would that you were like that. I could spare you. I could give the atonement for you, just like He's preserving Israel now, as Paul said, in their ignorance. Doesn't have to destroy them because He blinded them in part till the fullness of the days of the Gentiles come in. So then, it's that hour. And He said, if you were hot, fervent in spirit, I could bless you. But because you're lukewarm, you know to do good and you won't do it, I can't have any fellowship with you at all. That's the end of the world, He said. When people come to this as to knowledge of God, it's required of them. And then I cannot protect them, because standing at the door, they hinder and won't go in. Everybody else, they stop. So then it's the end of the world. God cannot deal with them anymore. I would that you were hot or cold, He said. But because you're lukewarm, I'll lay out a seal in church age. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's where we're standing. Everybody is being spewed out. One's got cancer. Another's got heart trouble. Another, they have to cut them out of a wrecked car where they're torn all to pieces. Come on, folks. Airplane crashes, wars, disaster by weather conditions, waves of the sea roaring, floods, all of these things, dope, plagues. God is spewing them out of His mouth. I don't mean this wrong. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. But like my Susie called today, talking to my wife, and she said that Brother David Allen, that publishes with regularity something concerning the Bible or ever what he feels, he published an article, and the article was something concerning the flag. And he got an answer. He usually don't get any answers. But he got an answer from a Jew. And boy, that Jew was hot. And he told him, said, what ought to be done so the IRS ought to get you for using that for advertisement. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says that's not very patriotic, Brother Pike. That Jew didn't care nothing about American patriotism. He'd love to see that six-pointed flag up there flying. That's a nation that's going to run things in the end anyway. Through the millennium, he ain't worried about the other. It's done run his course. You're patriotic to it, that's good. You know, that's your business, that's America. But he's patriotic to what he's patriotic to. You can't fall out with him no more than he can fall out with you. You love the Lord? Come on now, you said liberty and justice for all. Isn't it right? The country that lets everybody do what they want to. Well, I guess that's why I'm a little partial. Jesus said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. And I'm a little partial to the world he chose me to. And he said, you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. Should be zealous of good works toward God. And this by faith in God. Folks, let me tell you, anything that's good, anything that's virtuous, anything that's godly, we ought to be behind it. Whether or not it's nationally or internationally. Whether it is of the people of God as the church or anybody that's out in the state that's trying to do a decent thing as to the church. For the Bible speaks of the friends of the bridegroom, children of the bride chamber, handmaidens as to the delivery of the child. You understand what I'm saying? But there's one thing that I believe. We need to get out of the heathenistic practices of worshiping a flag, worrying about amendments for flags, and we need to get some amendments for righteousness. Righteousness is what exalteth the nation, not a flag. It is God that is behind a nation when they win the battle. And the Bible said the battle is not to the strong, the battle is the Lord's. The race is not to the swift. God is the winner of the race. And the Bible said we should lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage of these things of the world. What does hinder you, Paul said, you did run well. One time America did run well. One time she was a great nation of righteousness. She was exalted by God. And the flag did wave as the old glory over us. But in that the old is passed away, the Bible said it's making way for the new. And God finding fault with the old because it could never make the comma thereunto perfect. That is, with their religious doings. So then God has brought in a new thing, a better way of life, a more sure word of prophecy. And today we are the children of liberty. The children of resurrection, they might have forfeited their right to godliness, but not us. You understand what I'm saying? We're still with liberty and justice for all. To pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, no. But I pledge my allegiance to God Almighty, to His Son, Jesus Christ, to the power of the Holy Ghost, to serve Him, to follow Him, and to live holy and godly in this present world and declare the truth to people and tell them my allegiance is to God. I respect the flag of the United States of America. I respect anything that's right. But folks, my heart and allegiance is to God. Their allegiance is to the flags. They've turned them into idols. But our allegiance is to God. My commitments are to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So then today, it is the voice of God we're looking for, not the voice of the president. God bless the president. The Bible said pray for the kings, the queens. But you know what the president needs to do? He needs to go down and find the prophets of God. Conference with them. Find out what God is doing. Then he'll know how to run the nation. Washington went to God. He learned how to run the nation. Come on, folks. Isn't that right? Abe Lincoln, he went to God. He knows how to run the nation. But these other boys that's hatched off out of college don't know nothing about running a nation. That's why it's in such a terrible mess as it is. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you've got to remember, I've got a nice home. I've got a nice car. I'm glad for you. And I hope the banker will let you keep it. You should by now be a stockholder in it with what you paid in it. Hope they don't decide to rule you out. Nice car is true. And the government gets about half of your paycheck. You can't hardly afford to put the gas in it to take a good vacation. In the millennium under the government of Christ, the government that I'm under, the Bible said in that day men shall build and other men shall not inhabit. That you'll sit under your own vineyard. Nobody will run you off. Nobody will bother you in your properties. I'm talking about on this present earth right here. That's the right kind of government. I'm pulling for a government. What kind of government? Somebody says, oh, you're trying to ease in there, Brother Pike. Say something here and get this beautiful American government out of here and bring that communistic thing in here. No, I'm trying to ease in here and get them all out. Bring Christ in. Hallelujah. So that we can have peace and liberty and justice under one God. That's what I want. Ooh, you don't have to holler about it. Well, he said, whatever you hear in the ear, you know, just shout it on the housetop. Ain't exactly on the housetop, but this will do for now. You know, it's like hearing the book of Matthew. I started to read a little bit a few minutes ago. You know, preachers, they do strange things. They read right in the middle of a sermon. But in Matthew's, in the 14th chapter, the 31st verse, I want you to notice a little contrast here and see how God judges things. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to into the ship, the wind ceased. I want you to notice that it says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There's a man stepped off of a boat, courageous by faith, did run well, was doing real good, walking on the water. Nobody had ever done that before, but it didn't make any difference. Peter felt like faith would make it work, whether anybody had ever done it or not. He saw the Master doing it. And Jesus said, these things that I do shall ye do in greater things because I go to the Father. So Jesus reached out his hands and caught him when Peter began to doubt, lifted him up and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, I have often thought if Peter had little faith walking on the water, you and I must be in terrible shape. And then right across in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, look what it says in the 28th verse. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that something? Here's a man. He's saying, now this was the man that took the keys to the kingdom. This was a great outstanding individual. This was a man that was supposed to be telling church what to do. And here's a man. And Jesus said to this man, to show you there's no respect of person with God as to male and female. He says to this man, O thou of little faith. And then here comes a woman. She says something that strikes the heart of God just right. And then God said, great is thy faith, woman. Be it unto you even as you will. Well, that is to say, because you got that kind of faith, it doesn't matter what you ask for, you'll get it. Because faith is going to bring it to you. You've got the right kind of faith, woman. You just say what you will. You love the Lord? See, God's no respect to person. You know, we men get to thinking we're quite something, you know. And I don't know if nothing is any worse than a man. Arrogant, speaks sharp to his wife, wants her to sit down when he says sit down, get up when he says get up, go to bed when he says go to bed, let him ride all over creation, and if she ain't home by 30 minutes after she leaves, or she stays a little after dark, especially me. You know, I have something to say about it. I don't like for my wife to be out after dark. Somebody said, well, have you ever been out after dark? Yeah, I'm afraid I have. A man, he's a contrary thing. I could say I don't know anything worse than that, except a woman. But I won't say that. But I'm just trying to tell you here that God loves you. Folks, you don't have to be a man. You go around your women trying to wear pants, want pantsuits. You want to look like a man. You want to bob off your hair so you can find a place in the world. But seeing God, you don't have to do that. You can wear a dress. Be decent. Be upright. Be a testimony for God. And still be mighty in God. Great and mighty in God as a woman. See, a man doesn't rate above you. In God's sight, we're all female. In God's sight, we're reckoned for as the church. He's the only male. And the only way that we are equal to the male is that we be one with the male. For a woman and a man, as to the mystery concerning the church, she's no longer separate. You know, I say this so often. As a great man of God said one time that the woman was not in the original creation. That is true. That is true. She was not in the original creation. If you go to where she was separated from Adam as the woman. But Adam was the original creation. And Eve was an Adam. So then you can't tell me that I wasn't in the original creation. I was there with God before the world ever was. And this thing was given to me in God before the world ever was. And I'm one with Christ Jesus. I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And as He is in the sight of God, so am I in the sight of God. I'm one with Him. That means I own all of eternity. Every good thing. I'm eternally strong. I'm eternally young. I'm eternally wealthy. I have all knowledge in heaven and in earth. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's what Jesus said. The thing is how much of this power can I utilize? I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. My eyes turned toward heaven is looking up. A redemption of the body. I'm alive, not dead. I'm a child of the resurrection. I can't die. How much of this ability of Christ can I utilize? Just as much as I'm willing to receive into me as a full reward, to more the full measure, the full stature. And every one that be perfect shall be as his master. I can have just as much of it as I want. Somebody say hallelujah. You should be sweating real good right now. I'd be like a drowned pup, you know, if you took stock of me into the water. I'm soaked through and through. But I preached when my socks was wet and my shoes were soggy. But when you get good and wet, then you're cool off then because you got something to cool you off. See, the water's warm when it comes out of your body, but when it gets in your shirt, it gets cool. Let's give the Lord a hand. Now, I was just thinking just before I came, I thought now, if we could start in the evening and preach on until it was night, everybody would be cool and comfortable. And then when our night service started, we'd be ready to really love the Lord. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord? So then we see a great, wonderful thing. The end of the days of the Gentiles. It's over. Old glory is gone. Ichabod is written over the door. As it was when the problems was back in the days of Israel. Back in that time when Samuel came on the scene, Eli had not done right. His children had not done right. And God let the enemy come in and take the Ark of the Covenant and take it away from them. And Ichabod was wrote over the door. The glory of America is departed. The glory of God had gone. You understand? Folks, there must be another glory somewhere. When Israel's glory departed, what kind of glory came in? The glory of the church. If America's glory is departing, what kind of glory is coming in? As to the natural, it's going to be the glory of Israel. The new flag to rule the world. Come on, folks. Boy, us American people, we can't swallow that chunk down, can we? That choke us to death. No, bless God, we're America. Bless God, bless God, bless God. But nevertheless, that's the way it is. Israel couldn't swallow it down when America came in. Israel couldn't swallow it down when God turned to the Gentiles. Couldn't swallow that. Their pride wouldn't let them swallow that. God's our God. But nevertheless, God left them. And folks, God is doing the same thing to America. You're going to have to swallow it down. Like the prophet, he ground those things up, that golden calf. Moses put it in the water and said, now you drink it. God's going to make them drink the bitter thing. They've made themselves golden calves and ball games and everything else. But God's going to make them swallow it down. Bitterness. It's going to be hard to swallow. When they see the church glorified and them left and add the old sow to wallow in her mire and the dog to lap his vomit. Somebody says, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean a statesman gets up and he says dust and dust and dust when he's rotten to the core like the man that they convicted a few days ago. Raging. Foaming out his own shame. But had to confess his iniquity. Dogs lapping their own vomit. Not real statesmen. The old sow wallowing in her mire. What is mire, Brother Pike? Ball games. You never have translated the word ball game? Translated to come out hogwash. Mire. Give the Lord a hand. Now, somebody would say, well, now, I never heard a translator translate it like that, Brother Pike. That's because he was looking at lying vanities. So then, who are we? We're God's people, the children of the resurrection. Ooh, that makes me want to dance every time I think about them things. I think it really genuinely does. Even as hot as it is. So then, America is at an end. It's close of day. She's gone. She's folded up. She's laid away. She's bankrupt. It's fixing to dawn on the people. It's going to be a great turmoil when it strikes the people. It's going to be a great calamity befalling the people. Frustration, anxieties, rebellion, contrariness, wicked men waxing worse and worse. Not going to get any better. Worse and worse. Like Junior called from prison the other day. Talked to some people about God. He said, you know, I never realized there was such fine people in prison. Come on, folks. Somebody said, fine people in prison? Sure. That's what they did in the old country. When somebody raised up that had any decency about them, was going to oppose them, they put them in prison. Isn't that right? When the Catholic Church took over and the people began to be spiritual as to them of God, you know what happened? You know what happened? They called them witches. They burned them at the stakes. See, the whole thing is reversed, but the Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Now, someone would say, well, don't you know it's hot under here? I can tell it. See, I can tell it. So then, America is gone. Somebody said, don't do that. You'll tear morale down. She ain't got no morale. Used to have some morale. She don't have any morale. The only way you can get any morale out of her now is give her some whiskey and dope. Talmadge, the senator, wrote me not too well a good while back just before he went out and told me how that the armed forces that we were supporting, that he was trying to get Congress to do something about it, that because all they're doing over there is drinking whiskey and partying, He didn't bring it so plain. Just costing Americans. The only way they can keep their morale up, their morale is to drink whiskey. Used to, a man kicked the dust off of his old boots. He hadn't been lifting weights. But you'd been better off to grab the hornet's nest than I got a hold of him. He was a man from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He didn't lift any weights, but he might have swung a two-horse plow all day from this corner to that corner every time it went around. Even when I was a boy, I learned to do that. It was too big for me. I couldn't handle it. But I'd pop the old mule and make him get going pretty fast. And then I'd get down the corner, and I'd pop him, and I'd get there, and I'd get him just about having that thing flying as much as he could. And then I'd jump out of the fur, and I'd swing it around like that, you know. And I'd let him carry the load of it. I'd just jerk it out of the fur, and he'd swing it around for me. You understand what I'm saying? And those men were men back there. Real men. When you called them as it was in the days of Washington, they were called minute men. They could come from the plow stock and be over here with a gun in just a little while. And they had courage. And brother, they didn't have to have a bottle of whiskey to make them fight. All they had to think about was that little old boy back home. Like David, Paul had his little one up here. Even as sanctified as I believe David is, if you started to do something to that little boy, you'd have a problem. They didn't have to have a bottle of corn whiskey. They had that little kinky-headed girl back at home. She didn't look like a movie star like some of yours look, but she knew how to pick cotton and pick peanuts, eat cornbread and buttermilk. I'm talking about decent kind of people. She had enough sense that she knew better than to go around with long hair thinking she was going to get to heaven while she bobbed off her skirt above her knees. Somebody give an order. She had more sense than that. All right, so this is what it's all about. Decency, righteousness, holiness, which without no man shall see the Lord. That we should serve God in righteousness and holiness all the days of our life. Do you think that ball games is righteousness? Let me say this right here. Really, I'm going to close. I told Sister Betty to try not to hold you long. It's like Brother Philip. We've been going into the Bahamas and we've been preaching against ball games and worldliness and all these things. And you know how the world is. Philip is a young minister, good preacher. But he still liked his ball games. The other day he went to a ball game and there was a woman sitting behind another woman. And she kept antagonizing her, pinching her, pushing her. And the woman, Philip said, tried to be polite, wouldn't turn on the other woman. And finally she vexed herself for so long, she just turned around and bopped her right off of the seat. And Philip said when she did, they tangle up like two kittens. And they fought. And everybody was around. I think they forgot about the ball game, I guess. And they were around. And he said such cursing, filthy talk. Filthy mouth. I said, I've never heard a like it in my life. He said, now I know that the ball game is of the devil. You love the Lord? So then to serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life is to get away from the ball games. Worldliness, the love of the world, the ungodliness, the filth, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, passions, the gullible desire for the evil things of this world. Folks, it's high time that we begin to rise up, take the kingdom, because that kingdom is gone. That kingdom is gone. Unless you and I put in a new amendment to our constitutional rights. Somebody says, now don't be cute, Brother Pike. You don't have any constitutional rights except America. Yes, I got some constitutional rights. I got some constitutional rights. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords poured His blood out of His veins, gave it for me, that I might uphold my constitutional rights and fight for my constitutional right You say men died for that flag. I know, but men and women died for this constitutional right I've got. This was constituted of holy people, written as men were moved by the Holy Ghost. I've got a constitutional right. I have a king. I'm waiting on him. The government is upon my shoulders and your shoulders. And he's coming back. And he's going to overthrow every government in this world. That's why they got upset with Paul. Said he's turning the world upside down. Kings got afraid because they were going to lose their positions. Even in the days of Jesus, they got afraid when the wise men came. Because that ruler thought he was going to lose his place. But folks, we're not after the beggarly elements of the world. All the good, decent things of the world belong to us anyway. This earth belongs to us. It's never going to perish. A generation comes and goes, the earth abides forever. It changes the new earth. The trees, the fish, the birds, the animals, all those things belong to us. Somebody said, if you just say that last word, stand, it makes you better, feel better stand. When I get you standing, we're just going to get started then. But you can go ahead and stand. I know it makes it bad and you see me drinking water and you don't have any. I can tell your thoughts. Didn't know I could discern your thoughts, did you? But you know what it is? Folks, this gives us some idea that when that man looked and saw Lazarus, now you're talking about hot. That was a hot place right there. The electric chair ain't nothing. That was a hot place down there. And he said, if I just had one drop of water. See, sometimes God lets things like this happen to make you and I stop and think. Do we really want the beggarly elements of the world? You know, if you find your life here, Jesus said you'll lose it in the world to come. Some are finding their life. They're comfortable. But he said, if you lose your life here as to a sacrifice for my sake, you'll gain it and that unto eternal life in the world to come. Do you really want it for that little short period of time and then to spend the endless ages in the lake of fire? In your lifetime, you had the good things, Abraham said to the rich man. But now, Lazarus is comforted and thou art tormented. So then here we are. Let's all stand together. I hope we've said a few little words that might be encouraging and enlightening to you as we go along this way. We need to be thankful, folks. We've got a whole lot of things that other folks ain't got. Did you know that? Whole lot of things. A lot of things that other people would be so grateful to have. A man once wrote a song. It says, be thankful. Be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. Some people don't have their legs. You do. Some people don't have their eyesight. You do. Some people don't have ears to hear, but you do. Some are dumb and cannot speak, but you can. Be thankful, the writer said. Be thankful for what you've got. What are some folks, these things would mean a lot. The blind man can't see flowers growing in a garden. Crippled man can't walk places where he wants to be. The lame can't walk, the dumb can't talk. Be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. Can you sing it with me? So the blind man can't see the flowers in the garden. The crippled man can't walk places where he'd like to be. The blind can't see, the dumb can't talk. The crippled can't walk. So be thankful.
be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. So be thankful. Be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. So then, be thankful for what you've got. We've got salvation. Others don't have salvation. They're just beasts. Brute beasts, some of them, made to be taken and burned. They're just beasts. Don't be frustrated when they run to seek college degrees, and when they strive to be millionaires, and when they want retirement, and when they want careers. Don't fret yourself over that. That's all they'll ever have. It's the land of Esau. They're beasts. They're blind. If the blind lead the blind, Jesus said they'll all fall into the ditch. So then, don't fret yourself over that. We're children of light. We can see. My, what we see. So be thankful. Be thankful for what you've got. For to some folk, these things would mean a lot. Sing it again. Blind man can't see flowers growing in a garden. Crippled man can't walk places where he wants to be. The blind can't see, crippled can't walk, the deaf can't hear, and the dumb can't talk. So be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean. Can you sing that with me? So be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. Sing it one more time. So be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. Be thankful for what you've got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love him. And while we're singing, the altars are open. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation. Him, do you really love him? I know it's hot and uncomfortable, but if we'll worship the Lord, just take our time, don't get too faint. It'll be all right. Next while we'll have the camp meeting behind us, we will have given God our very best, and then we'll be happy. We'll have what the writer called a satisfied mind. He wrote a song called The Satisfied Mind. On Calvary's tree. Give me a kiss. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. complete while I sit at His feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. I've anchored my soul in God's haven. Stay the wild seas no more. And though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild, thorny deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Stands, I am waiting not to lead my soul, loved one. Come to Him that way. And the writer said, I surrender all, Lord, to Thee. I surrender all.
I am without
one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. The time, if you'd love to give your heart to the Lord, if you never have, now's the time to make the great commitment. And Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. For nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are in the afternoon service, the end of a camp meeting. Numbers of people have come from different places to hear this wonderful gospel of Jesus. Now that we know we are accountable, He holds us accountable for what we know. For to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So we've come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's bringing the end of the world. They've come to the knowledge of the truth now. Now it's required of them. God cannot continue to give them grace. The blood must come off of the seat of atonement because it was put there for one reason. That is on the mercy seat so that they would have opportunity to hear and make their decision. After that, it cannot stay there any longer. That means the end of the world is here. And when the gospel is gone into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Well, that is the creatures of God. Every creature must hear the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? When it's gone into the world, all of the world, for a witness to every creature. Every creature has had a chance by the grace, the blood on the seat of atonement, to make his decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And then after he makes his decision, the last one, that's the end. Someone said, I don't know when the end's coming. You don't either, Brother Pike. I just told you. Can you deny it? That's what the Bible says. By satellite publications, world evangelism by individuals. And here we are on a hot day.
all of us together, talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, doing something for Jesus. All of us gathered around here to let Him know that we love Him. The end of the camp meeting today. I wonder if everybody would come to the altar tonight. Or today, this evening. I know you're hot. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I'm putting that water in, it's leaking back out. Like the Bible said, some people have hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that won't hold water. And my people have committed two evils. One thing, they've hewed them out cisterns, even broken cisterns that won't hold water. And another thing they've done, the Bible said they've forsaken the living God. Can you deny it? It's Brother David Paul and I travel all over the world. We find that multitudes and multitudes of people have cisterns that won't hold water. You preach to them. You put this living water in, this water of life that Jesus gave to the woman at the well, promised her He would give if she'd come right. But they get back out in the world. They let it leak out. And we find multitudes that have forsaken God. They've forsaken God. They'd rather eat, drink. In the last days, they'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They'd rather marry a half a dozen wives, a husband, eat, drink, frolic, have an income. One mother marries another. She's married two or three times. The man's married two or three times. They got a half a dozen children that don't belong to them. The mother doesn't want his, and he doesn't want hers. So they take out a lot of insurance and get careless so a car can kill them. And that's where they can have a little more money to frolic. So you can praise the Lord because somebody killed somebody? No, praise the Lord because I'm telling you the truth. So that's where we're at. America's gone. I spoke of over a million in the last few years that's killed their children. I'm talking about an abortion. I'm not talking about just choking them to death, drowning them in the bathtub, leaving them out, doing anything. America, the beautiful? No, America, the mass murderer. Come on, folks, I know you don't like that. I don't even like to have to say it. But if I said she wasn't, I'd be a liar. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The papers carried everywhere. The news medias? The publication of the truth? No, bunch of snakes in the grass. Looking for some sensation. I've said this to you a number of times while we were in India. One of the leading, outstanding paper reporters came out. Want to talk with me? Last time I was over there, a movie star came to us. While I was on Africa, met him. Invited us to come into his home when we come back into India. But this particular man, just as I am, said, you know, Brother Pike said the newspaper don't, said they're not looking for the truth. They're not interested in the truth. He said what they're interested in is sensation. Something that will make them a dollar and sell that paper. That's the truth. See, if I tell it like that, I'm telling the truth. If I tell it another way, then I'm a liar. And Jesus said to the sons of the devil, I'd be a liar like unto you. So then what is the ministry for? To be a snake in the grass, like some of them are being? To get the attention of the people? To raise themselves up? To magnify themselves? To become celebrities? To become movie stars? And have billions of dollars? And enslave you to tribute that you have nothing. Preach to you that the early church gave up all they had and them give up nothing. snakes in the grass. You know what it is? The serpents have climbed up into the upper lintel, the Bible said. And I know the newspapers that criticize our presidents and everything else, that make them a laughing stock. I know that. We've got people from every nation. They become reporters. Even college girls and boys get stories and sell them to the newspapers and to the magazines. And it's people from all over the world, people that would love to undermine America, undermine her government. But our people are blind. They don't have enough sense to know that. So they publish it. They make their statesmen a laughing stock, their president a joke. No wonder people are looking to other nations, other countries. But righteousness exalteth the nation. If they get back to righteousness and get back to God, he'd exalt them. God lifts up one, puts down another. Kings, presidents ruled by me, God said. See, to get back to the truth. The Baptists need to get back to the truth. The Pentecostals need to get back to the truth. The Catholics need to get back to the truth. All of the churches of the world need to get back to the truth. What is the truth? The Bible. Somebody said, we've got the Bible. No, I'm sorry to say, some of you got a mess you call the Bible. With your translations and your jukebox version and your beatnik changes and insertions, you got a mess. That's what you got. Again, God's letting you go into perversion. Because you have not a love for the truth, he's turning you over to reprobate mind to let you believe lying, be damned, sending you strong delusions. You've got the Bible. You didn't want to live by it. You want to make it like your constitution. You want to change it to fit your evil ways. So then God is taking your glory out. That's one thing the flag stood for. Was a people under one God, God in the beginning that was the Word that was made flesh, God the Word. But they've changed God the Word. They've changed the Word. They've got their foolish translations.
Just as I am.
Like one great translation that even Oral Roberts published, as great as he is. Some great man come out of a foreign country, Oral spent thousands of dollars for the translation. Some of it reads like this. Jesus said in the Campbell, spoke of him going through the eye of the needle. With men, he said, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Did you know that God could put a camel through the eye of a needle? He could stretch him out to where he wouldn't be as big as a hair. Stick him right through the needle's eye. When he got on the other side, wouldn't be hurt a bit. Only God could do that. But this man translated it because you couldn't do a camel that way. Said what God was saying was you take a rope and you keep breaking it down and breaking it down until you get the last tiny strand and you can put it through. And that was the translation. That was the answer to the impossible. Of course, that sounds impossible to me. That shows you the blind leading the blind, stringing a net, swallowing a camel. Folks, the glory of God's departed from America. Somebody says, no, 1,000 times no. I tell you in the name of the Lord, the glory of God's departed from America. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, here we are in America and God's with us. No, you're not in America. How many know you're not in America? You're not even in the world. You're in heaven. When the church went out, the glory departed. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, according to what you preach, ever since Calvary, the fullness of time has been here. And men have been translated into the kingdom of God. I know that. But see, only when a thing is revealed is it effective. Though the word of God's been here that said you were healed by his stripes. But you that have been sick, did you become healed till you knowed anything about his word? Wasn't it when you came to know his word and you begin to believe his word? and it was revealed to you as what God had said in His Word, wasn't that when you received your healing? Sure, and that's the way it is. When it's revealed, folks, it's being revealed now. It's being revealed now that you're the glory of God. Man is made for God's glory. Woman is for man's glory. But when a man and woman become one, it's no longer them living, but Christ. That is the ultimatum of the glory of God, the head of man, or the head of church. But as to the world all around you, the states or whatever it might be, if you want to call it separation of church and state, the world all around you, God has left them people. That sow is wallowing in her mire, and God is not wallowing with her. And that dog is lapping his vomit, and God's not lapping it with him. God's not at the ball games. They can pray till they're blue in the face, like the vision I saw. But God isn't going to bless any ball game. Like I had men that came in here, professional boxers, even those that had worked with Jack Dempsey and great men like that. Told me how they prayed. Rubbed them gloves together, so to speak, and pat him on the back and said, go get him. We done prayed. You know, that is to say, God, let you knock his eyes out. A reprobate mind. Turned over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. They got a God, all right. It's the God of the bottomless pit. And even Christians, not Christians, but religious folks, they run after that. They run after that. But folks, you've come out of the world. You're not of the world. You're separate people. You've come out of the world. God has departed not only from America, He's departed from the world. He's departed from the world. You know what he's doing? He's getting his church ready. Someone would say, well, I believe, Brother Pike, it doesn't matter who goes off the scene, minister, whatever, God's still in the world. No. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. But the world knew him not. And because with their intelligence, they did not know the truth. It pleased God to turn them over to reprobate mind, to let them leave a lie and be damned, to send them strong delusions. And you know what he said? He said, I'm no more in the world. I'm leaving the world. So then God, who dwells in heaven, is inside of you as the saints of God. And as long as you're in the world, that's the only means that God has of being in the world. And when the saints of God go out, then God's gone. And as you begin to realize who you are and what you are and where you are, that means he's no longer in the world. In all of the world, the saints are beginning to recognize this. So then God has departed. When I say departed, I don't mean he's just gone like that. But I mean, he's closing the whole thing out. He's gone. He's departed. And it's like science. Before you breathe your last breath, you're what they call clinically dead. If you are beyond hope of medical help, they say he's dead. He's gone. You're clinically dead. Folks, the world is spiritually dead. They're gone.
God, as the to stay here,
physicians say, it's gone. There's no hope for it. It's gone too far. There's no hope. All right, we're going to sing a little bit together and worship, and we're going to let you go. And maybe somebody needs praying for. Probably still got a few ministers here. I'd like for them to come up on the platform.
Long to stay here. I said, steal away.
In this life we're living in, I have lived the life of sin.
I have done forbidden
things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior by the way. Ask him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness.
kindness and love that's true. He set a cross to breathe. There's no more sorrow. He set a cross to breathe. There's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be happy again. Come home, come home. Supper time, the shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. We'll praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. To give Him glory all ye people. Let's sing it again together. Come on. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. We will give praise Him now. Lift your hands up. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. Give Him glory. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What
can make me whole again. And nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's sing this little chorus. Are you washed in the blood? Somebody say, I'm washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll run the devil off anyway.
In the blood.
See, he left.
In the fruit.
Cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white
as snow?
Oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yes, I'm washed in the blood. In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Oh,
and my garments are spotless, for they're white like snow, and
I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yes, I'm washed.
Yes, I'm washed
in the blood.
In the blood.
In that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. And my garments are spotless and they're white like snow.
I'm washed in the blood.
Sing it with us.
In the blood,
in the blood,
in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Your garments spotless, are they white like snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Better be washed.
Yes, I'm washed
in the blood,
in the blood,
in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
In
the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. So are you
washed
in the blood, in that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Oh, are your garments spotless, are they white like the snow? Are you washed in the blood?
Sing it again.
Oh, yes, I'm washed
in his blood,
in that soul cleansing blood
of the Lamb.
And my garments
are spotless and
they're white as snow,
cause I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh yes, I'm washed in his
blood,
in the soul cleansing blood.
And they're white
like the snow.
I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh yes, I'm
this we're white
in the blood.
In the blood.
Can you give him a wave offering?
In the blood of the Lamb.
And my garments are spotless.
And they're